الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين بالقسط سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There is a word in Arabic language called قسط, قاف, سين, طاء. This is one word that captures the essence of all Islamic laws and all Islamic teachings. One word that describes the overriding value that permeates all of Islamic values, and that is justice. Qist, justice. Insaf, adl. And interestingly, the Quran mentions that the sole reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets and the kitab was to establish this justice, this qist in the world, and to end injustices. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Broadly speaking, doing justice means that you give everyone else their due. And what exactly that means in every single situation, for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the kitab, Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam with clear signs to explain to us what exactly is justice in a particular situation and how to implement that justice. The Quran contains revelation that spells out what is fair, unfair, right and wrong. Quran is a book that teaches us what justice is. And interestingly, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also Al-Muqsit. Muqsit, the one who grants justice, the one who demands justice, and the one who will manifest his perfection, the one who will perfect his justice in Akhirat. On the day of Qiyamah, that will be the ultimate manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice and equity. And the way we are supposed to adorn ourselves with this attribute, we understand by reflecting that this is a sifat of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands justice from us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to grant justice to others as well. So the way we beautify ourselves is also, we have a share in this name, and that we do so in two ways. Number one, we give justice to people around us. We give justice to people around us. And on the other hand, when someone does some wrong to us, we have this attitude of forbearance and forgiveness for the sake of Allah. When it comes to other people, we should give justice. We should give them their right, their due. But when other people may wrong us, then to have this attitude of forbearance and forgiveness. So I'm going to speak about these two in a bit more detail, inshallah. Now, before we come to that, it's interesting that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions normally there are two impediments, two obstacles to justice. There are two main reasons why people are not just. And those are basically two emotions that prevent a person from being just. Those two major emotions are love and hatred. When you have love for someone, love can become an impediment to act justly. And likewise, hatred for someone can also become a major impediment to act justly. Now, how does Quran teach us to overcome these impediments? So the first, I'm going to recite two ayat of the Quran. The first ayat, Quran is teaching us how to overcome the first impediment, which is when you're dealing with our closest relatives, your family, your closest relatives, sometimes even our own selves. So here in Quran, Allah mentions that, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bilqist. That those who believe, Allah addressing those who believe, stand out firmly for justice, shuhada lillah, as witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walau ala anfusikum, even though it might be against yourself, subhanallah, even though it's going against you, against your favor, you should stand out for justice. Awil walidaini, or even though it is going against your parents, wal akrabin, and your near relatives, in yakun ghaniyan aw faqira, whether it concerns a rich man or a poor man. Any person should not think that this he is wealthy, so I should side with that person because of his wealth. Nor should one think that this person is bechara poor, so I should side with him. Irrespective of their wealth or their poverty, one should simply act with justice, stand out with justice. And then Allah says, Fallahu awla bihima. Allah stands closer to them both. And fala tattabi'ul hawa an ta'dilu. That do not follow any passion so that you may deal justly. Sometimes a person gets swept away by their own passions, desires, whims, fancies. Allah says, don't do that ittiba. Don't follow your own whims and fancies and passions. You should rather act ta'dilu with adl, with justice. So here in this ayat of the Quran, we have this amazing answer to a conflict which many people have between self-interest and justice. People act justly when it interests them, but when there is self-interest, in order to get that self-interest, people act unjustly as well, unjust to other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that be just no matter whether it interests you or not. You have to be just in all situations, even if it means that you have to go against your own self. This is what real iman is. This is how the ayat is beginning. Alladhina amanu. That if you claim to have iman and you want to be raised up on the day of Qiyamah among the mu'mineen, the believers. So this verse is reminding us that we have to be just, and Islam does not permit any favoritism, not even when you're dealing with your closest relatives, not even with your own selves. This love cannot become an impediment to justice. So that was one ayat. And the other equally major impediment to justice is hatred. All of us are familiar with this. When you're dealing with the enemy, right? When you're dealing with someone you don't like, when you're dealing with someone who you have feelings, bad feelings for, then a person normally they're not thinking about justice and equity and adl, insaf, qist, right? They just do what that emotion is telling them to do. But what does Quran say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Again, it's addressed to those who have iman. Both ayat, they're addressing the believers. Kunu qawwamina lillah. Stand out firmly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shuhada bil qist. as witnesses to justice. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَعَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُ And let not the hatred of others to you make you do wrong to them, make you go the wrong way, in the wrong direction, and depart from justice. And you let not the hatred, enmity, malice, spite for other people, let not that those emotions take you away on this wrong turn and make you depart from justice. اِعْدِلُوا Be just. هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى That is closer to taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well acquainted with all that you do. So in other words, the second ayah is teaching that you can't do injustice even when you're dealing with the enemy. And this is Islam. This is the beauty of the deen of Islam. In the zamana jahiliyyah, right, people would treat their enemies as less than human beings. One who has no rights, deserves no fairness, no justice. But Islam directly went against that. It's a command to the believers, with a reminder at the end that Allah Ta'ala is watching you. This enmity and hatred that you have for others cannot be used as an excuse for committing injustices against them. Justice does require retribution sometimes. In Islam, there is a principle of an eye for an eye. But it doesn't mean an innocent eye for an innocent eye. It means the eye of the perpetrator for the eye of the victim. And subhanAllah, now if you look at I'll just give one example about how this justice was enacted. This is Sahabi Hazrat Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala an. And his father, both of them were on the way to Medina Munawwara, migrating from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Tayyibah, when they were stopped by Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl said that he stopped them, that I can't allow you to migrate to Medina Tayyibah. And they pleaded this. So he said that I will only allow you to continue on the condition that when you go to Medina Tayyibah, you will not participate in a battle against us. You will not participate in a battle against us. Khair, when they agreed, and then they reached Medina Tayyibah. So immediately the Muslims were faced with this Battle of Badr. And all of you are familiar what the condition was. The Muslims were poorly armed, did not have the weapons, were not equipped, and they were facing an army which was well equipped, three times more than their size. And it was a battle in which the very survival of the Muslim community was at stake. And every single person counted tremendously. So Sayyidina Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala, he wanted to participate in the Battle of Badr. But he came to the Prophet and mentioned the story that this is what happened. And Abu Jahl allowed me to continue on this condition not to participate. And I agreed. And then the Prophet said that if that is what you agreed, then you will not participate. The Prophet himself did not allow that Sahabi to join the Muslim army simply because they had given that word that they would not do it. So this is a very important attribute, a quality that we need to have in our life. Qist and justice. Now, in Quran, there are 10 principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us how we can have. These are 10 guiding principles for attaining social justice, attaining justice in our society, attaining excellence and beauty in our social relations, in our company with each other. So if you follow these 10 principles, we can actually become a very good member of the community and benefit people around us. So learning these 10 principles are necessary And we're going to look at them one by one, inshallah. And in fact, all 10 of them are taken from ayat of the Quran. So the first thing Sharia, the deen of Islam, teaches us is that when you're living with others in a society, if you want to act justice, enact justice, the first element is وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا, that you should not pertain, you should not indulge in ghibat. No one from amongst you should do ghibat of others, backbiting of others. Now what is backbiting? Backbiting is to say things about a person in his absence which he would have resented had he been present. And whether this backbiting is verbal or it's written or it's indicated isharatan, right? Backbiting, to say something about a person who is not present, that which he would not like. Now here there is a question that comes up, that what if the thing that we are about to say about that individual is true, it's correct? If it is true, then it's called backbiting. If it is false, then that is called slander. That's a greater sin. Slander is a greater sin than backbiting. And in Hadith, the Prophet said that a slanderer cannot enter the garden and he cannot enter the Jannah. So even if it's a true thing, we cannot say it if that person is absent. That's a major sin. It's from Hukukul Ibad. And unless we ask forgiveness from that person whom we backbite, that sin will not be forgiven. We can make 100 tawbahs, 200 tawbahs, that sin will not be forgiven. It'll only be forgiven when whom you backbited, that person forgives us. And someone did zina, let's say. Now, whether he did zina or not, the deen of Islam is teaching that you should keep it aside. This person, if he backbites, al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. The ghibat is a greater crime than zina. Talking about it is a bigger crime than zina. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this, that one who backbites, it's like eating the flesh of his dead brother. There in the hadith, it's mentioned that the two women who were keeping a fast, and as time passed by, they started backbiting. And as a result of that, the fast became unbearable. So they came to the Prophet mentioning that we want to break our fast, it's becoming unbearable. And the Prophet told them to rinse, to vomit what's inside. And when they vomited, pieces of meat came out from their mouth. And they were extremely shocked. And the Prophet explained that what happened is that you did ghibat, you backbited. And when your person backbites, Quran says that it's like eating the flesh of your dead brother. And eating someone, and then your brother, and then a dead brother. And three zulmate, three things are mentioned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this practically wanted to make that miracle evident and show it to you that this is what happens when a person backbites. So Sharia makes one exception, that if someone has a good intention, islah, then a person can open up the faults of an individual. So for example, a mother, she tells about her kids, that our kids, they're doing this mistake, and she tells that to the husband for islah, so that the husband can then rectify, can discipline, can try to remove the mistake that the kids are making. So in this situation, the mother, she's revealing the faults of her kids to her husband, and the Sharia gives her, the deen gives her the ijazah, the permission, she can do that. Because if the mother, she doesn't tell the husband, then who else will she tell? So it's permissible for her to tell, and this will not be included in ghibat. So for example, if you go and tell something about someone to their teacher so that the teacher can fix them, can correct them, can rectify them, that would not be included in ghibat. But sometimes shaitan also deceives us in this, that he makes us tell those things to those other people who cannot do islah. So the principle is that we tell this to open the faults to those who have the ability to do islah, who can rectify. So This is very important. The first thing Allah says that a person should not backbite others. And practically, we can follow this principle that when we are in our gatherings, many of our early Muslims, they had this habit that when someone talked about a third person was not present, they wouldn't want to listen to that. Because if a person listens and they join in that gathering, it's as if that they're also backbiting. They're sharing that sin. Listening, you can't say that I listened to it silently. Listening tells that you also agreed. So the deen says that in such a situation, what you can do is either you can say that I have another opinion about that person, right? And in that way, you can at least, you know, mention some good characteristic point about that person. You know, he has this good quality. So others are speaking negatively about that person. In response, you mentioned something positive, some positive attribute, and every person has something positive about themselves. And by mentioning that, you make it clear that you don't agree with that, and then it won't be counted that you are listening to ghibat. Or a person can simply leave that place and they can end the conversation. So either we make known our difference of opinion, or we leave that conversation. But it's very important to protect ourselves from this sin. And for a long time, I wasn't actually able to understand this hadith as well, that al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. It's worse than zina, because if you think about it, zina is zina. And ghibat, we tend to think that, you know, we backbite it, but that's fine. But why is it more shadid, more intense than zina? And then when we studied the informally, our teachers explained this, that when a person does ghibat, they are violating two rights, the rights of Allah as well as the rights of ibad, the servants of Allah. Whereas in zina, there is only one right, the right of Allah, which is being violated. So because the rights of other people are being violated in ghibat, that's why it's ashaddu min az-zina. That's why it's more shadid. And then there's another thing which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that every part of a Muslim is sacred with regard to other Muslims, their blood, their wealth, and even their honor. So if a person ends up backbiting, then what will happen on the day of Qiyamah? This is an injustice. It's a very grave injustice, which will be a darkness on the day of Qiyamah. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that the bankrupt in my nation is the one who will come on the day of Qiyamah with numerous good deeds. But then this would be someone who has either insulted someone else or backbited someone else, done some ghibat. And then what happened on that day is that the person against whom we backbited, they will ask for their haqq. They will ask for justice on that day. And what is haqq? What is their right on that day? They will demand that, give me your good deeds. And how many good deeds? It won't be like 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. They'll ask as many good deeds to compensate for their own sin so that they can enter into Jannah. They will demand justice on that day from us, that you backbited, and we want justice now. And justice on that day will be in the form of our good deeds. And then the Prophet ﷺ explained that when they will get our good deeds, still some people, the rights will not be fulfilled, so they'll ask for more. And this person will say, I don't even have any good deeds to give to you. So they'll say, okay, fine, then we're going to give you our sins. Their sins will be handed over to this other person. And then the Prophet ﷺ explained that how many people will be there on that day who spent a lifetime of ibadat, a lifetime of worship, and they will end up giving their good deeds to those whom they were backbiting in the dunya. Their whole life of good deeds will be given to others. So we should understand the importance of this. And we should try to save ourselves from this sin. There's some temperament, some people who have this habit, to just get together and they start backbiting. So we need to be careful about the people we associate ourselves with. We need to be defensive. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he wouldn't speak about three, he wouldn't speak about a third person, someone who was not present in a gathering. So one person asked his teacher that, you know, Imam Abu Hanifa, he's silent most of the time. He doesn't even speak about other people who are not around him. So the teacher, who himself was a very big muhaddis, he said, what more do you expect from him? Imam Abu Hanifa is a very wise, intelligent person. Why would he backbite and then hand over all of his good deeds to other people? He's intelligent. He's a wise person. He doesn't want, he's carefully guarding his good deeds. He doesn't want to give it to other people. Right? So the first, if you want to live in a society in a beautiful way, the first principle is that we should save ourselves from ghibat. Then the second element that Quran speaks about justice is wala tajassasu, that there shouldn't be tajassus inside of you. Tajassus means to have this person just trying to probe around, prying on others, spying on others, trying to find out, trying to gather info, tell me more. So the deen is giving, the deen is not giving this ijazah, this permission that you can begin to search out the faults in other people. Allah says, La wala tajassasu. They shouldn't be this tajassus. One should just do their own work. Stop finding faults in other people. Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah, is a very big muhaddis who at one time would have 40,000 students studying hadith from him. And in one of the gatherings, he gave four nasihate to his students. And these are, you know, worth writing in gold. One of them was, he said to his students that stop finding faults in other people and you will progress. That if we want to progress, then we'll have to stop finding and searching for faults in other people. And this is also something which the Prophet said also in other riwayah. Because when a person is concerned about their own self, their own work, their own life, then a person's the faults open up, that how many inadequacies there are within us. And on the other hand, when a person is focused too much on the others, then we become blind. We are blinded to our own faults that lie within us. So the second principle the Quran is saying is that wala tajassasu. And you know, this is a sin. One is ghibah, the other is tajassus, is probing, prying, wanting to know more. Sharia says that if someone has done some sin, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered their sin, then who are you who wants to remove that cover of Allah? What's your standing before Allah? Why do you want to go into the details of things? A person should just be worried about their own self. Apne kaam se kaam rakhein. Just keep to ourselves. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kabir. Allah is Akbar to punish anyone. To punish anyone and everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wills, Allah can punish anyone He wants to. He will give punishment whenever he wants. We are not in charge of qaza and destiny of other people. That we start prying and probing and investigating. So the first thing we should save ourselves from is ghibah. And the second principle is that we should try to avoid this tajassus. We shouldn't try to pry, spy, snoop on others. Then the third thing that Quran speaks about, and you can see it's actually sequential. Third thing is ijtanibu kathiram minadh-dhann. Allah says that stop yourself from making assumptions about others. Stop yourself from making suppositions about others. Stop yourself from making opinions about others. Now, normally what happens is that we see a feather and we make a bird out of it. We get one point, we try to make a whole story. This is what Allah is saying, that we make assumptions about someone. Sometimes you can have good opinions, sometimes you can have bad opinions. Allah says, no, inna ba'da zanni ismun. That there are some opinions, assumptions that you have, which are kabira guna, which are major sins. Don't make these assumptions. Don't think about this matter. So what this ayat is saying is, that based on a few pieces of information, we cannot make a story. We cannot make our beliefs. We cannot establish our beliefs. deen is stopping us from doing that. Now look at the beauty of the deen. That first step it's teaching that stop preventing us from backbiting, don't backbite. Don't pry and spy into the lives of others, don't do tajassus. And number three, don't do badgumani. Don't think ill of other people. Because if a person falls into this sin of badgumani, then shaitan will take benefit from this. Rather, what Sharia or Deen is teaching us is that you should have good intentions about others, have goodwill for others, think well about other people, have a positive opinion about others, to such an extent that the Prophet will explain this by giving an example that if there are 70 possibilities and 69 of them are bad, just one possibility is a good possibility. So Deen says that ignore the 69 and uphold that one positive possibility, have husnizan with them, with that person. Think well about that person. And how much husnizan should a person have? It says that if you see a man and a woman exiting a room, let's say they're unrelated to each other, ghair mahram, and they're alone in that room in solitude, tanhai, and they're exiting the room and you can see from the appearance that they've just made this fresh ghusl, just took a shower and a bath. Deen says that you should do guman, you should think that they have made toba, that they made ghusl-e toba, not zina. Have positive opinion about your brother. So that's the third point that Quran teaches. Then the fourth principle in the Quran is that if you find out about someone's faults, again, right? If you find out on your own or through someone else, you find out the faults in someone, some other person, then the deen says that wala talmizu anfusakum. They don't start insulting that person. Beware of insulting that individual. Don't be izzat that person. Don't deride that person. Don't defame that person. Don't vilify, denigrate, insult. Finding about someone's bad deed is one thing. To counsel that person is another thing. But to go among people and begin to talk about that, this is insulting. This is defaming. This is vilifying. And Deen is saying that why are you defaming that person? Don't do such a thing. Wala talmizu anfusakum. And if a person does it, Allah says this will be a sin against you. And in hadith, the Prophet said, very ajeeb hadith, that if a person vilifies and defames his brother in a place where there is respect for him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will defame him on that day when he will need izzat and honor, yani the day of Qiyamah. That why did he disrespect him in a place when people used to respect him? And then another hadith, the Prophet said that if a person made a sin, committed a sin, and other people started defaming him for that sin, even though this person has made tawbah. Now, if this person has made tawbah about that sin, then Sharia does not give us the right to start defaming him on the past sin that he did, but he has made tawbah about that sin. And on the other hand, if a person, the Prophet continued in that hadith, that if someone defames an individual for a sin that he has done, but he has made tawbah for that sin, then there will come a time when the person who is defaming will also fall into that same sin. Hey, look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to interact with others, that if you find someone has made a sin, committed a sin, but that person has made tawbah, then Allah does not give us the right to speak about that sin. Allah does not give us the right to start defaming and vilifying them. That person has made tawbah. That matter is over. Allah has deleted that. We should also delete that. But if we continue to defame him for that sin, then we will be in trouble. Allah will put us, the Prophet is saying that this person will go through that same sin. So, wala talmizu anfusakum, that one should not denigrate and insult others. If there is a proof, then we should present the Shari witnesses. Right? Allah, there is a whole legal proceeding for that. That if a witness would come, but if a person doesn't have that, then we cannot just simply talk like that and defame and vilify the honors of others. Then the fourth thing that no the fifth thing that Allah speaks about in the Allah mentions in the Quran is wala tanabazu bil alqab. Wala tanabazu, they don't call other people with a bad name, with bad alqab, laqab. Don't use insulting bad names and titles for other people. Right? If a person wants to speak about others, we should speak with a good name. If we use a bad name, insulting name or insulting title, then that's also a major sin in our deen. And if you look at these principles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, right? What the things we're supposed to avoid, the things we're supposed to do. And if a person follows these principles, how a person can attain that excellence, that beauty in our interactions with others, this husn-e ma'ashrat, achieving this justice in our society, these principles, Sharia is delineating them for us. And the sixth one Allah mentions is that if someone reaches, let's just say there is some information that reaches you about a person and you have listened to it, so then the deen teaches us that don't make your rai, don't make your assumption about it. Ask the other party as well. Ask the other person as well. Why? Because it's possible that the first person may have said something in such a way that it sounds like a bad thing, but the reality is not that. The reality is otherwise. I'll give you an example. I think most of you understand Urdu, so let me use this Urdu example. There are two sentences in Urdu language which if I say them out, they mean the words are exactly the same. But if I pause at one word as opposed to the other, the meaning changes. The exact same words, but the meaning will change. So the first sentence is, Roko mat jane do. Stop, don't let that person go. Now, if I say the same sentence slightly differently, pausing slightly differently, Roko mat jane do. They don't stop him, let him go. Now, I said the same words, but the meaning of those two sentences are different. First sentence means that stop, don't let him go. The second sentence means that let him go, don't stop. So words are 100% the same, but the meaning a person might be conveying could be wrong. This in Islam is called kalimatul haq yuridu bihil batil. That you're saying the kalima, so you're saying the truth, but by speaking the truth, you are deceiving others. This also happens. You're speaking the truth, but you're deceiving other people. Hazrat Luqman Hakim rahmatullahi, someone came to him and complained that, you know, look, this person, he's cut my ear. And he also presented the ear, that this, you know, that person, fala fala person, he cut my ear and look at this ear. So Luqman Hakim rahmatullahi said that we'll not have yakin until, he said that don't have yakin until you have asked the other person. Ask the other person. So the son, he said, oh my father, why shouldn't I? So the Luqman Hakim rahmatullahi explained that it's possible that this person might have cut both the ears of that individual. So don't just make an opinion until you have asked the other party as well. After, if you've heard the one side of the story, don't make a decision. Don't make a belief. Don't make a rai. Investigate. Ask the other side as well. That's why in Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that it's enough for a person to be counted as a liar if he simply listens to one report and then he forwards that report to others. Listening and forwarding, that is enough to make a person a liar in the Book of Allah. And with the social media and the gadgets that we have, it's so easy. You just get one message, one WhatsApp, one email, one post, and we just forward that. That's enough proof that this person is a liar, that if a person simply forwards that without investigation, right? So the deen is saying that don't do this, don't make your opinion just hearing one side of the story. Then number seven, deen says, Allah says in Quran that if you come to know of a bad deed that someone has done, some sin that a person has done, then you cannot make fun of that in public. You can't make fun of that in public. La yaskhar qaumun min qaumin. Allah says, don't make a mazak, don't make a make you don't make mockery of that. Maskhara, right? Don't make a fun of others. Don't make mazak of others. You cannot, do not deride others. Do not scoff others. Do not ridicule others. Don't mock others. Don't put down others. Right? That would be a crime as well. In Hadith, the Prophet said that save your shar from other people. The shar which is inside you, stop it from reaching other people. If in our hearts we are thinking that if I tell this, other people will laugh about this, you're having that temptation, you want to tell, you want to spill it out. But Allah says that don't do it. Stop yourself, stop that temptation. Because if you make fun, if you mock, if you ridicule your brother, then that would be a major sin that you have done. The number eight, the eighth principle mentioned in the Quran is, let's say, suppose you know the whole story and you know the true story. Even if you know the true story, Allah says, wa aqsitu, be just in dealing in this matter. It shouldn't be the case, right, that you just tilt on one side, like we did these two ayat of the Quran at the beginning, that if someone is your friend, you favor that person, you act unjustly out of favoritism, or if you hate that person, you act unjustly because of your enmity. Allah says, no, wa aqsitu, be just in dealing in this matter. Be just. Let not these emotions of love and hatred swerve you away, divert you away from the path of justice. You should keep this hukum of justice in front of you. Don't be carried on, don't be carried away by your own emotions, no matter how overpowering they might be. And then the second last, number nine, is that if you have the ability to do something, then what you should do is وَأَصْلِحُ, bring about a reconciliation between the hearts of the believers. Effect a reconciliation. That if there's some ikhtilaf between two parties, bring them together. وَأَصْلِحُ. Allah is saying that effect a reconciliation, cause them to love each other by bringing to light one's virtues, concealing their vices, restore good relations between them. Because such a thing, watch the sentence, bringing sulah is more meritorious than nafil salah and nafil fasting. A person can spend the entire night in nafil salah, but that would not be as meritorious, as rewarding, will not have as much fazilat as restoring good relations between two individuals, as doing sulah between two individuals. That's why in Quran Allah Ta'ala mentions that the believers are like brothers and make peace between them. Beware of causing rifts between, causing discord between them by slander or backbiting or any other thing. Allah says, wa aslihu, should say something which can bring their hearts together. You can join them together. And in this respect, the Sharia also gives us such a big leeway that if you have to lie, a small type of a lie, in order to join them together, you can do that as well. In order to, for example, to create harmony between husband and wife, that's one of the biggest acts of ibadah that a person can do. That if there is some split between a husband and a wife, to join them, to connect them, to reconcile, bring about a reconciliation between them. Allah says you can even say a small type of a lie. It's still a lie. But Allah says we will not punish that person for that lie. Why? Because he's trying to bring about a sulha. Sulha. He's mending a relationship. He's not breaking a relationship. Mending relationships are so praiseworthy, so meritorious, so beloved in the sight of Allah, that Allah is willing to let go of his own right to speak truth, that's what Allah demands from us. We cannot lie. Allah is willing to let go of his own right. Why? Because this person is trying to mend a relationship. He's trying to bring people closer. Wasulhu khair. Allah says there is khair in sulah. And unfortunately, again, this is something which we don't see in our society. If there is some dispute, some masala, there are so many people trying to intensify that discord, causing separation, alienation. Only few people are trying to bring about this reconciliation, this sulah. One out of thousand, I would say. And then the last principle, the 10th one, is let's just say there is no possibility of a reconciliation. The distances are too much. The distances are too much. There's no possibility of a reconciliation. Now, the deen teaches us that that person who's putting the blame, tell them to bhai, forgive it for the sake of Allah. Forgive that person for the sake of Allah. That person, yes, has made a sin, did a sin. That person made a mistake. That person did something which he wasn't able, shouldn't do. But now forgive, have forgiveness. And then if this person says that, no, I won't forgive him. Now the deen says that if he is asking for forgiveness and he does not forgive, then that is a very major sin. In a hadith, the Prophet ﷺ explained this, that if there is a person who has made a mistake and he is now asking for forgiveness from the other person, and the other person says to him that, no, I will not forgive you, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that that person should not try to present himself before me on the day of Qiyamah. That person should not come to me at the Hawza Kawthar. I don't like to see the face of that person. Allahu Akbar. That's a very scary thing. So who can say that I will not forgive my believing brother? And if there is a person who says that, then the Prophet ﷺ is saying that I don't want to see that person's face at Hawza Kawthar. That person doesn't forgive others when other people want to be forgiven, when they're asking for forgiveness. So for example, a husband cannot say that I won't forgive my wife. A wife, she cannot say I won't forgive my husband. In our life, if someone makes a mistake, we have to forgive the other person. We have to develop this attribute. To forgive other people, people will make mistakes around us. So we have to learn to forgive others. Why? So that in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. So that in return, Allah will forgive our sins. Now, sometimes it happens that kisi ki dil azari kari, you broke someone's heart and you don't even want to speak to that person, let alone forgiving that person. You can't even speak to that person. Your heart is so broken. And perhaps one of the greatest examples of this we see is that of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. There was in his household a young man by the name of Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala an. And then there came a time in Madinah Munawwara when Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, there were some munafiqeen in Madinah Munawwara who started this negative propaganda against her. Then Auzubillah, she has done this sin. And these munafiqeen, they were making this negative propaganda against her. And Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the daughter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha. So when sort of this negative propaganda happened, some Muslims, they were also swept away in that wave. And one of them was Hazrat Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anha. He also got swept away. And he also started saying a few things about her. When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha found out about this, now this was the issue of his own daughter. So he had this double sadness in his heart. First sadness was that Hazrat Mistah was his relative. He was his member of his household. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anha was providing care to him, was taking care of him, was giving him kharcha, maintenance money. And then secondly, he used to give monthly income to Balai to him. Right? But in return, how did he act? He was slandering his own daughter. Tuhmat, right? Insulting his own daughter. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, I know he thought that Mistah, I will not forgive him. And he made an intention that I will not forgive him. And it's understandable, right? That someone is hurting your own daughter. So he said that, you know, I will not. Tawakkuat hoti, right? You have expectations from the other person. And he was right, right? In having these expectations, he wanted that if I'm doing bhalai, goodness to him, he should also reciprocate with goodness. Why is he slandering my own daughter? So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he made this intention that I will not forgive him. But Allahu Akbar Kabira, Allah Ta'ala truly is the greatest. Allah Ta'ala revealed one ayat of the Quran at that time. And in that ayat, Allah Ta'ala said, وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَسْفَهُ, that forgive one another and live with love and affection with each other. And then what did Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala say in the next sentence? First sentence here, Allah is saying, pardon them, be forbearing towards them, live with love and affection. But in the next sentence, Allah says, Allah tuhibbuna an yaghfira Allahu lakum, that don't you like this? Then in return for this, Allah will forgive you. That if you forgive, don't you love the fact that in return Allah will forgive you? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he heard this ayat and immediately he said, I have forgiven Mistah and I hope that in return Allah ta'ala will forgive all my sins. Our deen is so beautiful. This is Quran. This is Kitab-e Hidayat. Look at our deen. Step by step, Allah is counseling us. Step by step, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that stop on this step, don't do this. Stop on this step, don't do this. And at the very end, if there is no way out, you are right, you are truthful. The sadness that you have in your heart, that's also right. You have been wronged. Injustice has been done against you. And you're right, right, in your gham, in your sadness, in your grief as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I, your Rabb, am saying to you that you forgive your brother and in return, Allah, I will forgive all your sins. Is there anyone who can say that I don't need the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. We are not angels. We are human beings. We are only hopeful of Allah ta'ala's forgiveness. We are only hopeful of Allah ta'ala's forgiveness. And I'll just end with one hadith which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has mentioned in his book. It's a beautiful hadith. It's a hadith where the Sahaba Ikram, they say that once we were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ laughed so much that we could see his blessed teeth. And then one Sahabi, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, Ya Rasulullah, my father and mother be sacrificed for you. What is it that is making you laugh? And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this hadith. He said that there are two men from my community who fell from my ummah. They fell on their knees before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is about Qiyamah. The two men from my ummah fell on their knees before Allah ta'ala. And one of them said, O Allah, let this one make some retribution to me for the way he has wronged me. And I want my badla, I want some compensation because this person wronged me in the dunya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, okay, take your badla from the other person. The person who wronged you, take your compensation from him. And then he said that, oh Allah, I have no good deeds that are left. And he took all the good deeds. And now this person is saying, Allah, I don't even have any good deeds to give to that person. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked that petitioner, then now how will you manage with your brother? He has no good deeds to give you. So he said that, okay, Ya Allah, let him relieve me of some of my burden of sin. the sins that I have, Allah, I want you to transfer those sins to him. And at saying this sentence, the Prophet ﷺ began to weep, began to cry, and said that what a tremendous, mighty day would that be when people will need to relieve others of their burdens, when their own sins will be given to others. And at that time, then the Prophet ﷺ continued, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to one of those person, that person who had been wronged, that person was demanding his right on Qiyamah. So Allah will say to that person as being wronged, that lift your eyes and look into paradise, look into Jannah. And he will look ahead and he will say that, Ya Allah, I see cities of silver and I see palaces of gold and I see this decoration of pearls. For which prophet is all of this? For which martyr, for which shaheed is all of this? For which righteous person, salihin, is all of this? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this treasure, this Jannah, this city of silver and palaces of gold and this decoration of pearls, this will belong to whomever can pay the price. So then he will ask that, Ya Allah, who can come up with such a sum? Who can pay such a price? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that it is in your power. You can pay it. That how, Allah ta'ala, how can I pay this price? Allah ta'ala will say, by forgiving your brother. By forgiving your brother. And then he said that, Ya Allah, I've already forgiven him. And then Allah ta'ala will say, take your brother by the hand and then lead him into Jannah. This person and the other person, both of them, they will hold their hands and this person will take him, lead him into Jannah. And after completing this story, then the Prophet ﷺ said that have fear taqwa, fear Allah Ta'ala, and do sulah among yourself. Make peace among yourself. For Allah Ta'ala will make peace among the faithful on the day of Qiyamah. So if we can forgive other people for the sake of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala, we can get the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah ta'ala forgive our sins and may Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to live with each other with excellence, with beauty, with justice. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we can fulfill our hukukullah and hukukul ibad. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make dua, inshallah. Subhana rabbil al wahhab. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our Khalik, you are our Malik, you are our Razik. Zalamna anfusana. Allah, we have done zulm on ourselves. Allah, we have done injustices to ourselves. Allah, we have wronged ourselves. Allah, we have soiled our hearts. Allah, we have allowed ourselves to become distant from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, if you will only forgive us. Allah, if you don't have mercy upon us, lanakunanna min al-khasirin, then surely Allah will be amongst the lost ones. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we do iqrar of all our sins. Allah, we do iqrar of all the shortcomings that we have had in our hukukullah. Allah, we do iqrar of all the shortcomings that we have had in our hukukul ibad. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in sincere tawbah. Allah, we ask that you accept our tawbah tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, your Nabi, your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that at-ta'ibu min az-zambi kama la zamba lahu. Allah, that person who makes tawbah is like that person who's never ever sinned. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ya Allah, we ask you that you accept this tawbah. Allah, wipe away all of our sins. Allah, you are Afu. Allah, you are very forgiving. You love to forgive. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, manifest your sifat of forgiveness. Allah, forgive us for all the sins. Allah, forgive us for all the sins that we did in our lives, all the sins that we remember, all the sins that we have forgotten, all the sins that we did to ourselves, all the sins that we did to other people, all the sins that we did in private, all the sins that we did in public. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us for the hukukul ibad. Grant us the tawfiq, the ability that we can fulfill the rights of other people. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you that you grant them. Allah, for those who are far away and we may not be able to fulfill their rights, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we make dua for them. Allah, accept these duas in their haq. Accept these duas in their favor. Allah, because of these duas, give them so much that the rights are fulfilled. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we don't want to be bankrupt on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, we don't want our good deeds to be wasted on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, we don't have anything, Allah. Allah, if these good deeds are also given, Ya Rabbi Kareem, what else will remain in our name amal? Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you accept this dua. Allah, accept this dua. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you forgive us. Allah, that you put this emotion of forgiveness in the hearts of other people for us as well. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you grant us kamil tawbah, kamil maghfirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make other people forgive us as well. Ya Rabbi Kareem, put this generosity, this mercy, this merciful nature in the hearts of others for us, so they can also forgive us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you soften our hearts. Allah, that you purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you save us, Ya Allah, from all these sins that we mentioned today. All those sins, Ya Allah. Allah, the societal sins, the individual sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you save us from backbiting, save us from slander, save us from insulting others. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us mercy in our hearts. Grant us compassion in our hearts. Allah, grant us kindness in our hearts. Grant us the ability, Allah, to enact justice and adl and rahmah in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you accept us for this deen, for the understanding of this deen, for the practice of this deen. Allah, have ikhlas in our amal. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us in this path. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Allah, in Quran you say us, Allah, you tell us that we should be forgiving to others. We should live well with others. We should have forbearance with others. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are so weak, and you are commanding us that we should be forgiving and forbearing with others. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we are also your servants. Allah, we ask you that you also, Allah, be forgiving towards us. Allah, you also be forbearing towards us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Allah, have forbearance for us, Ya Allah. Allah, have softness with us, Ya Allah. Allah, in Quran, you sent Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam to Fir'aun. And Allah, you told them, when you speak to Fir'aun, speak qawla lahu qawla layyina. Speak to him with softness and gentleness. Allah, that Fir'aun who used to say, ana rabbukumul a'la, that I'm the Rabbul A'la. Allah, you are telling that when you speak to him, you should speak with softness. Allah, everyone who is in this gathering, Allah, in so many times during the day, Allah, we put our forehead in the sajda, Allah, and we testify, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask that you also deal with us softly. Allah, grant us your softness. Allah, treat us with gentleness and softness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, forgive our sins, forgive our mistakes, overlook our errors. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you that you accept this tawbah from all of us tonight. Allah, we have seen in the dunya, Ya Rabbi Kareem, their parents are so loving towards their kids. They're so forgiving towards their kids. They're so forbearing towards their kids. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. If a mother is so forgiving towards her kids, Ya Rabbi Kareem, you have so much love for us. The more than 70 mothers combined, even more than that, Allah, you have love for each one of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, out of the love that you have for us, Allah, shower your forgiveness upon all of us, Ya Allah. Allah, be forgiving towards us, Ya Allah. Allah, have forbearance towards Allah. Allah, have mercy over us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower us with your rahmah. Allah, shower us with your love. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have seen in the dunya, when a child, when he has soiled his clothes, made his clothes dirty, he goes to his mother and he says, oh mother, no one wants to draw me close to them. Everyone says that, go away, you're dirty, you're filthy, you are smelly. He comes to his mother and he says, oh mother, the people have turned me away. But the mother, she doesn't turn his child away. She doesn't turn her child away. She brings him close. She understands that he is innocent. She understands that he is naive. She takes him to the bathroom, she washes him, gives him a shower, and then she removes and scrubs away all the dirt from him. And then she makes him wear good clothes, clean clothes, pure clothes. She puts the fragrance on him, and then she hugs him, she gives him love, she showers love upon him. And then other people, they also start falling in love with that child. Yeah, Rabbi Kareem, our example is also like that of that young boy. Allah, we have also soiled ourselves with sins. Allah, we have soiled ourselves with sins. Allah, we are stinking with sins. We are smelling with sins. Allah, no one wants to come close to us. Allah, no one wants to come close to us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have no other door to go to except for your door. Allah, we are at your door. Allah, we are standing at your door. We are knocking at your door. Allah, we are asking you that you let us in, Ya Allah. Allah, let us into the folds of your Rahmat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, take us inside your Rahmat. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, give us this. Allah, give us this shower of Rahmah. Allah, give us this ghusle tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're making this tawbah to you. Allah, shower us with your rahmah. Shower us with your maghfirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove all the sins from our life, all the effects of sins, all the traces of sins, all the impurities of sins, all the negative effects of sins, all the negative consequences of sins. Allah, wash away everything from our hearts. Allah, cleanse our hearts. Allah, purify our hearts. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, adorn us with the libas of taqwa. Allah, beautify us with the libas of piety. Allah, beautify us with the garment of taqwa, with the garment of your radha. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, put this fragrance of your mahabbah, Allah, and then draw us close to you, Ya Allah. Allah, make us, Ya Allah, feel your closeness now. Allah, make us feel your qurb now. Allah, make us feel your nearness. Allah, allow us, Allah, that we can feel the sweetness of your intimacy, the sweetness of your proximity, the sweetness of your nearness, your closeness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Allah, make us your maqbool. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Grant us Qubuliya, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. We have seen in this dunya, Allah, the people, Allah, they always go to their master. Ya Rabbi Kareem, they know that they, whatever food they will get from their master. Allah, we've seen that their dog also knows, he recognizes his master. He knows that if I'll get the bone, I'll get it from my master. He doesn't go to anyone else except for his own Malik. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our Malik. Allah, we have no other Malik than you. Allah, we have no other door to go, no door to go to except for your door. Allah, we're at your door. Allah, you are our Malik. Allah, you are the one who's going to give it to us. Allah, you will give it to us. Allah, we want, Allah, you will give it to us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are at your door. Allah, we ask you, Allah, by the sifat that you are our Malik, Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us your blessings. Allah, shower your ni'mat upon us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower your rahmat upon us. Allah, we have no other door to go to except for your door. Allah, in the dunya, Allah, the beggars, they can go to one door. If they don't get it from one door, they can go to the second door, or the third door, or the fourth door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, they don't have any issues. Allah, our problem is that we have no other door to go to except for your door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are standing at your door. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Allah, that you shower your rahmah upon all of us tonight. Allah, shower your maghfirah upon all of us tonight. Allah, grant us your muhabbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ignite the flame of your muhabbah in our hearts. Allah, make us, increase us in our muhabbah for you. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Allah, that you grant us these two more du'as. Allah, two more du'as that we have in our heart. One is that, Ya Allah, we ask you that when the time comes for us to leave this world, Allah, grant us your radha first, then enable us to leave this world. Allah, grant us your pleasure first, then make us leave this world. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, the second du'a, our final du'a, is that, Ya Allah, we ask you that you look at all of us, Allah, once with the gaze of your love, Allah, once with the gaze of your muhabbah. Allah, we ask that you look at us, Ya Allah, with one glance of muhabbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we're making dua to you. We also feel scared in our hearts that you might respond by saying that I'll put that glance of muhabbah on Bilal. I used to put that glance of muhabbah on Sumayya. Look at your lives. Look at your lives. Look at the sins that you have in your life. How can I put this glance of muhabbah upon you? Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, we admit of our sins. Allah, we admit of our mistakes. But Allah, these sins will only be forgiven by you, Ya Allah. Allah, we have gathered here, Allah, asking you that you forgive us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for all of our sins. Accept us for a life of taqwa in the future. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us a gaze of muhabbah. Allah, grant us a glance of muhabbah. Allah, grant us a glance of your mercy. Allah, your one glance of muhabbah is enough for my whole life. Allah, your one glance of mercy is enough for my whole life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, your one glance of maghfirah, Allah, is enough for my whole life. Is enough for my whole life. Is enough for my akhirah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we all of us, Allah, we ask you for your one glance of muhabbah. Allah, one glance of muhabbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept our gathering, accept our sitting, accept our listening, accept our speaking. Allah, all of this only, Allah, we did this only for your sake. Allah, we had no other intention other than to attain your radha, other than to please you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are sitting here. Allah, we have no other gharz, no other objective. Allah, koi paise to nahi bat rahe the. Allah, dunya kamane ke liye thodi aaye the. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are here to earn your radha. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us your radha. Allah, become razi with us, Ya Allah. Allah, become razi with us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, become razi with us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us your radha. Grant us your lika. Ya Rabbi Kareem, write our names among those, Allah, who are loved by you, who you love. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Allah, you are Rahim and Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you say that ana inda zanni abdi bi, that make dua according to guman, and I'll accept your guman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are looking at your rahma. Allah, we are looking at your rahma. Allah, we are not looking at our own amal. Allah, we are not looking at our own sins. Allah, our gaze is fixed at your rahma. Allah, our gaze is fixed at your mercy. Allah, we're asking you out of your own mercy that, Ya Allah, you accept us on this path. Allah, make us true to you. Allah, make us true to your deen. Make us true to the teachings of your deen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to live such a life that we are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to leave this world in a state that we are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, when the time comes for us to leave this world, Ya Rabbi Kareem, become radi with us. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.